All right, we're going to come to order. Please rise and pass your duties in the Pledge of Allegiance, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, united, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, and Joanne, can you please take the roll?
Eric Anderson.
Here.
Andrew Brockway.
Here.
Kathy Buckley.
Here.
Joseph Coakley. Michael Hagedorn.
Here.
Leonard King.
Here.
Ed Marin.
Here.
Debbie Pasno. Pauline Stone.
Here.
Thank you, Joanne. C, approval of agenda. Resolve that the superintendent of schools recommends to the Board of Education to approve the agenda. Do I have a motion?
I'll make a motion with these additional items that we just received.
Okay, Eric made a motion to include the late items. Is there a second?
A second.
Leonard, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carries. All right, and then number two, we have an executive session to discuss the employment history of a particular person. Is there a motion to go into executive session?
Motion to go into executive session.
Leonard, second by Kathy. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Dan, did you have something to add?
I did have something to add. Can we also add to that pending litigation? That's another exemption, another reason why you can go into executive session.
Should I take the roll call again or not?
No, just, Leonard, you okay with that?
Yes.
Kathy, you okay with that?
Yes.
Okay.
All right, and we're now entering executive session.
The first group I will, well, two women I'll recognize are for is for a summer enrichment camp. These two women came to me and, with a great idea about enrichment for students that don't have a strong connection to school. And they discussed an academic connection, students that struggle with behavior, academics. I should really just recognize the women and let them talk about it because they came to me about the program and have a lot more to say about it. But I was at school for the 2 weeks that they had the program, and the kids were smiling and excited and definitely forged those relationships. So, for the enrichment camp, Michelle Montaigne and Christine Hedford. And I know Michelle can tell you all about the program much better than I just summed up.
It's dangerous to give me a microphone. Well, we, as counselors, we had moved from the high school and middle school to elementary and had summer work hours that we weren't quite sure what to do with. So we wanted to do something for students while we were at school, and so we worked very closely on student support teams, you know, kids who aren't connected to school. We worked with RTI kids, and we thought during the summer we could do something with the kids, and we wanted to be able to keep it small so that we could really target kids who could really benefit from being at school, and we wanted to keep the cost down. So what we did was we talked about what we wanted to do and just run a short camp, 2 weeks, because we worked for 20 days during the summer. We would do
1 week for kindergarten through second grade students, and the next week for grades 3 through 5, so that the activities could be a little different.
That's me. So we planned our activities, we worked with RTI, Lane, on figuring out which kids would best benefit from being in the camps for us. These were kids with attendance issues, parents who weren't very supportive of school, kids with a lot of anxiety about school. A lot of times we spend time, principals spend time with kids who, you know, they come in the morning off the bus and they just fall apart and don't want to be at school. And so kids need to feel connected to school in order to feel comfortable and safe, and then they can perform academically. So everything that we're doing is supporting academics. We included that in our program. We provided snacks. We did an academic component, usually reading. We would read to them. They would read on their own. We would do listening skill games with them, team building games. Yeah, lots of games.
They were learning and having fun, and they didn't even know it, which was really cool.
Yes, we tricked them into learning and having fun. And then what we also did to enrich our what we do is we took them to places they'd never been before. Just hiking a little trail to the town hall. Many of our students have never done that. And they thought that was really, really neat. And we talked about history because there are the markers, the memorials for the different wars. But I think the best thing we did was we took little kids to Plattsburgh State. And we took pictures of them. Little kids, kindergarten kids, who are so excited to know that this is a possibility. This is something that we have in our backyard that we're very fortunate as a community to have Plattsburgh State and Clinton Community College in our backyard. And we talked to them about what college was, and we talked to them about how you can go, and what you do every day in kindergarten, first grade, second grade, can help you to get there. They went into dorm rooms. They sat in college classrooms. They were beaming. It was very, very exciting. And so the PTO was very helpful to us by giving us money, more supplies. Elaine and Garth provided lunches. Well, Elaine provided the lunches for the group, and Garth gave us gift cards for Walmart to provide activities. And Mr. Mannix gave us the vans so that we could provide transportation for the kids. And so it was wonderful, and we're hoping that we can expand it to maybe 3 weeks next year. We don't want it to get too big, but really us driving the vans around, going to the kids' homes, meeting the parents were excited to see us. We got to learn a lot about where the kids are coming from by visiting with their homes, and it was just a wonderful, wonderful experience. So thank you for making that happen for us.
Thank you.
Thank you for explaining the program, Michelle. And I do just want to say thank you for recognizing that we helped get you those funds, but it was the district that helped really make it all happen. So thank you, everyone, for helping kids, helping them make a strong connection at school. And then we have three more people we'd like to recognize. And we'd like to recognize these women for all of our running clubs coming in at 7, well, at 7:10, they're beaming little faces. There's 50 to 60 students that show up. Can we come in? Can we come in? And they basically volunteer their time, again, to forge relationships, to teach the students about hygiene, about team building, about working together. And without these women, I certainly wouldn't be able to run the program. And the kids come in. We do a team building activity, a hygiene, a self-esteem activity. We run for the rest of the time, and then the kids have a snack. We do a little more team building at the end, and then we run a 5K race. In the fall, November 22nd, we'll have our second annual turkey trot. Hope to see you all there. But those three volunteers are, again, Michelle Amonte, Carol King, and Alona Kelty. And Michelle is the only one here, I think. So thank you for all that you're doing to help our kids.
All right, and the second presentation that we have this evening is the completion of the wireless internet project. And for that, I'm going to turn it over to Superintendent Mannix, and if Mr. Lambert will come forward. If he's up. Is he checking? Oh, he's right there.
Okay, so before Mr. Lambert starts, I wanted to welcome the administrators, the board, teachers, community members, and local media outlets. As the superintendent of schools and on behalf of the Board of Education, Beatmintown Central School District, we are very pleased to announce the completion of our $6.7 million building project. The project started under the leadership of Superintendent Sandra Urbach and finished this week. The crowning jewel of the building project is the completion of our wireless infrastructure. Bringing the power of wireless internet to every student and teacher in our district is a game changer. Complete digital access for all students who attend Beatmintown Central will be transformative in the way our students learn and the way our great teachers teach. Teachers will be able to increase engagement and inspire learning in innovative ways. Our new wireless infrastructure will enhance our student attainment of 21st century learning skills necessary to be quality contributors to society itself. Wireless capabilities simply multiplies the educational opportunities for teaching and learning. This reality for our students and teachers will help level the playing field in our global economy as our students become the next innovators and leaders. Providing our students at Beekmantown with the same rich opportunities for research, connections, dialogue, and learning as students in the metropolitan and suburban districts is now realized through the combined efforts of many boards of education, many administrators, and many school community members. Additionally, we are equally as excited to announce that this year the district will be utilizing over 100 new Chromebooks and recycled laptops, not 100 of each, but over 100 of those combined, to help lead our wireless learning initiatives. I am proud to say Beekmantown Central School District continues to lead the way in providing progressive education for our students. I just want to thank everybody involved, specifically somebody who was there at the committee meetings when this kicked off and can't believe it's actually finished. So I'd like to hand this over to Technology Administrator Lambert.
They say that good things come to those who wait and that patience is a virtue. And I don't think anything could have demonstrated that more clearly in my professional life than the completion of this wireless project. Some of you may or may not know that our district had a technology planning committee that met back in 1997. In fact, President Brockway was still in school back then when that happened. One of the outcomes of the work of that committee led to the $40 million capital project that Superintendent Mannix had mentioned. And as pivotal as that project was, there was a portion of that project that was cut out at the 11th hour. And that part that was cut out was wireless. And at the time, losing that part of the project felt to me as though it was just a delay. It wasn't a dead end. And the Excel project then came onto the scene, and that seemed like another opportunity to make wireless happen for our district. And originally, that was not going to happen. It wasn't part of the prior plan or other priorities. However, because of lower than expected bids and some very sound fiscal management on the part of the district, there was another opportunity to make it happen. And happen it did. And I am happy, I'm thrilled, to announce, as Superintendent Mannix did, that as of today, our full campus wireless in all buildings in the district, dubbed EagleNet, which started some 17 years ago, has finally come to be. So what does this project mean in the dawn of the bring-your-own-device environment? What does that mean for the district? Superintendent Mannix, I'm glad he touched on some of the same things, because great minds, I hope, think alike. I want to highlight five, just five, and there are many, many, many more than five. But workforce-ready students. Most of us use wireless devices every single day in virtually everything that we do, and our students are no different. And our students will be using mobile devices in their future careers, regardless of whether they are paraprofessionals, whether they're in the world of work. It doesn't matter. They're going to be using mobile devices anywhere. So why not teach them with the same tools they'll be using in the future? It provides us with an opportunity for teaching respectful and appropriate use of these devices that they'll be using as adults and preparing them for their future. So that's number one. Number two, collaboration is so much easier. With a bring your own device technology item in the classroom, students can collaborate on projects, even with students from other schools or other countries. And collaboration is key to engaging our students in today's classroom. Wireless technology is that piece that can help make that happen. Number three, learning in classrooms without walls. And I know that has been a statement we've been hearing for years, but look around. The wireless access points are here. It's really happening now. Students can spend countless hours outside the classroom on their mobile devices. So why not use that to our advantage? Why not let them use these devices, engaging these learning tools right in the classroom? Then they can easily bring their homework, their projects, their books, etc., everything they need to continue the learning outside the classroom, and they can access them with a swipe of a finger. Number four, education is more interactive. Bring your own device technology allows students to use their own technology in the classroom to make learning more fun, more interactive, and more engaging than ever before. And students, again, can interact with experts in other countries, create digital scavenger hunts, take virtual field trips. The possibilities really are endless, and students at this point still love it. So again, why not use it? And then number five, better accessibility. Over the last 10 years, our students and our teachers have taken great advantage of the resources our district has in our computer labs. However, with wireless access in the classrooms, every teacher's classroom has the potential to be a lab at any time, fostering more immediate and more meaningful access to resources for students. So as I said, these are only some of the ways that wireless access will change the district, and there are many more. But I believe that wireless has the potential to be the single most transformational change affecting instruction in our district's history. We have so much work left to do educating our staff, our students, and our parents how they can best take advantage of this resource, but that's where the real fun begins. So our students will now have access to some of the most cutting-edge technology to allow them to explore and grow in ways that we could only have dreamed of 17 years ago. Imagine where we can go as a district now that we do. So I would like to thank, as Superintendent Mannix did, present and past boards of education, and there have been a number of them, business administrators and past and present superintendents for their support in helping us arrive today at the technology of tomorrow. So look forward to seeing where it takes us. Thank you.
Thank you, Gary.
This is kind of hokey, but we've been talking about it for a while. President Brockway, since you were in the classroom way back when this took place, if you could lead us in cutting, ceremonially, symbolically, cutting the cord, as it were.
On our new network.
Will scissors work?
It's a left-hand pair of scissors because I'm a lefty. But
I'm a lefty too, but perfect. Gary was my Spanish teacher, yes, in 1997, and I'm going to give it to you to cut since you put all the work in on it.
All right, well, thank you. All right, here we go. And
so our next steps, before we hand the mic back over to President Brockway, will be, this all started through the efforts of the technology committee, and this wraps up the completion of their vision. So now we are bringing back a technology committee this year. We worked on it a little bit yesterday at the administrative team meeting, and because we don't want to be a wireless school. We want to understand how we're going to leverage our wireless to really help our students in the ways that we've already mentioned. Additionally, Ducky Nelson, a former teacher of ours, who just moved to Colorado, called today, and she was talking about professional development and stuff, he always does. And she said that she's fortunate to have every one of her students in her middle school, and it's a school of 35,000 kids, but every middle school student actually has a one-on-one device. So she's going to talk to us down the road about what's that like for her, and what are their policies like, and what's working and what's not working. So she'll be a resource along with that technology committee to move us through this.
All right, thank you, Dan. Now we'll open it up for public comment. We've set aside 10 minutes for public comment, and if anyone's interested, please come forward and announce your name. Going once, twice. Seeing none, at this time, we'll move into reports and presentations. And to lead us off, Superintendent Mannix.
Okay. Very short. The sale of the West St. Cheesy School building is not complete, and when it is complete, we'll have details for everybody. But it looks like the closing will be on the 19th. So we are very happy that that will be off the docket for Buildings and Grounds. That's an expenditure that's going to be taken care of. That will no longer be ours. Additionally, I have a draft, so it's not really a public document yet. A draft for the Board of Education to look at for our future board meetings and presentations. It's a front and back, so we'll just hand it down for you to look at. And also different committee meetings before board meetings. So just take a look, see if it works for you. Let me know via email, phone call, however you want to.
Anything else? All right, School Business Executive Blaine.
Good evening. The first item that I wanted to mention is actually a new requirement, a new SEC requirement that we will need to comply with, you know, in combination with our fiscal advisors as well as our bond counsel to do an internal review of past municipal bond offerings over the last 5 years, kind of a self-review and a report that's required to be filed. Initially was going to have due date in September, but that's been delayed and it will now be in December. We do have on tonight's agenda an appointment of fiscal advisors as our former consultant firm for that. Also, just to give the board a heads up and a flavor, the tax rolls were sent to us on August 4th from the Clinton County Real Property Offices. Also included in this agenda is the tax rate calculation with those finalized rolls. And we have also begun to receive tax cert claims from various companies that are pursuing adjustments on their tax assessments. I believe we probably have about seven so far that we've received. I'm keeping a log of it and tallying it up. I would expect that in September or October, I will be bringing to the board a request to increase the tax certiorari reserve, taking funds out of the fund balance to cover potential refunds for the new claims that are filed this year. We also have on tonight's agenda some budget transfers, predominantly some reclassifications, and as a result of the year-end audit, some movements between funds. And we can discuss that if there's any questions when we get to that point in the agenda. We did undertake the annual external audit that began the week of July 28th, ending it that entire week, Friday. It went very well. I would like to recognize the efforts of District Treasurer Bell, who was instrumental, and the auditors pointed out that this was probably the smoothest audit that we've had in quite some time. So that was nice. It's in draft form right now. They're working on it. We have a couple of small pending items, one of them being the receipt of the GASB 45 report. We're waiting the actuarial report on that because that is disclosed within the audits that are performed by our external auditor. And the last item is just an update item to let you know that we will be extending our banking agreement. We've been in negotiations. Again, District Treasurer Bell is instrumental in this, and through his authority under board policy to investigate and recommend, we have an extension that we're looking at for our existing banking agreement, and we're pleased with the results of that. That's it.
And Mary Dan has a question, or Superintendent Mance has a question for you.
Regarding the tax rate, during the budget process, we talked to the community numerous times about the growth in the town and our budgeting, and we were adding, and there was some concern, and we said during the budget process that the worst case scenario would be an increase of 13 cents per thousand, but we thought it would be closer to the best case scenario of a decrease in 13 cents per thousand. Can you just go over where we ended up on the decrease side?
Our tax rate last year was $17.22 rounded to the per $1,000 of assessed valuation. Our tax rate this year rounded is coming in at $17.13, which is a decrease of approximately 9 cents per thousand of assessed value.
I have to just go back and commend everybody, the board and the people that work, the administrative team, the business office on that budget. It's very rare that you have so much increase in opportunities and in educational environment in an institution and have a dramatic decrease in your tax rate. So thank you for everybody who participated.
Now we'll move over to committee reports. Audit committee.
Mary already covered it, associated with the external auditor, so I don't know how we can add anything much for that.
Okay. Policy Committee, Board Member Anderson.
We have some policies that will be asking. We have a first reading, academic linking and recognition tonight, and then we also have some policies that we want to revise, and I believe there's some that we were rescinding, if I remember correctly. And that was in relation to attendance, which was mostly through Assistant Principal Tremendous did a lot of the legwork and supplied us with a lot of information and a presentation. So I commend her for all of her hard work. It was very helpful in crafting this policy, having her, some of these revisions, having her come in. Some of them include a lot of things, making certain things a little bit more consistent, which will help them out in the long run, as well as softening some language on our first letter for those who were having attendance issues, and several other different changes, but those were the two that really jump out at me. But that's the bulk of the policies tonight.
Thank you. And public relations is also on this list. It's a new committee. Board members Buckley, Pasno, and Stone are on it, and we met to set some goals, and once we determine what direction we want the committee to go in and what goals we're going to set for this year, we'll give a more comprehensive report. But it was just a preliminary meeting at the last meeting. And with that, item number 5, resolved that the superintendent of schools recommends to the Board of Education that the following resolutions on this consent agenda are hereby approved, which includes the minutes, CSE, and CPSE recommendations.
I'll make a motion.
And motion by Board Member Anderson. Is there a second? Board Member Pasno. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
I have a question before you pass it. These policies that we are going to look at or recommend and stuff there, is there one of them that has something to do with technology, as far as for the...
When we get to the policies, I think you're talking under policy 4741, and we can definitely, that's a first reading, and we can definitely have some discussion on that item.
Thank you.
New business consent agenda, CSE and CPSE recommendations. Approval of CSE and CPSE recommendations dated 8/12/2014.
We already approved those.
No, that was already in the consent agenda.
How far did we go? That was just the minutes.
No, that was minutes and CPS.
Okay, so B, personnel, consent agenda, resignations. Approve the following resignations on the dates indicated. Joseph Fish, Janelle Waldron, Renee Burrington, and David Peter Lozon. Number 2, consent agenda appointments. Appoint Randy Duquette as a crisis counselor head teacher effective 8/13/2014 at a salary of $60,000. Randy Duquette holds an internship certificate as a school building leader and permanent certification as a school counselor.
Can I make a motion for the consent of all the personal, so I guess B through, so that would be items 1 through 4. Resignations and then appointments all the way
to Q.
No, we're going all the way through, even including retirements, it looks like. So all of B, which includes consent agenda, resignations, appointments, recall, and retirement.
So you're talking about all of number 2?
All of B, yeah, all of, under all of personnel, all the way up to the end of retirement, which is on page 4 of 7. Okay. And that would also include our additional items that we added later.
They're already in there.
Are they already in there?
They're in here. All right, Leonard, do you have a question?
Well, we need a second first.
Is there a second Eric's motion to Debbie? Leonard?
Yes. I've asked in the past that I think our consent agendas are too lengthy so that we lose where we're at in them. I think we need to shorten them down to bring them down to more of a, you know, 4 or 5 things, and then we can look at that more than reading off 2-3 pages and losing where we're at.
And
so I think in the future is what I'm saying.
I mean, to be honest too, I think it's a great idea, but I think it's obvious that I'm getting lost up here too, trying to go through 3 pages of things. So if we could split it up in the future, I think that's something we could do at the next agenda setting meeting. So your motion, Eric, is to go all the way through the recall. and resignations, correct?
All the way up to retirement, yep. So okay. That would be number four on page 4 of 7.
Okay. Is there any discussion? There's a second to the motion. No, I said there is a second. Is there any further discussion?
The only question I have is, are we going to follow up with the exit interview components that we've been talking about at the time?
You definitely have been following up with the exit interviews and sending appropriate paperwork to individuals. And I had a discussion with one of our administrators, I think it was yesterday, if not 2 days ago.
And so what's going to be the timeline for the board to look at some of the
I will have to just go back to our discussion of the employment committee meeting. I know we discussed that, and we'll get back to the board with whatever relevant information we have. More importantly, can we just stop for a second? We have 4 employees, 1 current, and I think 2 callbacks. And we'd like to recognize them. We have Randy Duquette is in the audience. He's going to be our new crisis counselor. If you can stand for a second, along with Kimberly Ashlaw.
We haven't voted yet.
Sorry. We're going to take a step back for a second. We need to formally approve this first before we recognize these people. It's a formality, hopefully. But is there any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? All right, it's official.
Here we go. Randy Duquette, our new crisis counselor. Randy? Welcome, Randy. These fine folks up here are ready to put you to work with your rich experience. Kimberly Ashlaw is joining us. She served as a STEEP program this year. And Anne-Marie White is joining us as well. Welcome.
Okay. Number 10, consent agenda, financial.
Page 4,
okay. Consent agenda, miscellaneous. Resolve that the superintendent of schools recommends to the Board of Education that the following resolutions on this consent agenda, CVES, sponsorship agreement, and committee appointments be and are hereby approved. Motion by Debbie.
Second.
Second by Kathy. Is there any discussion?
Yes, I said you were going to explain on this.
Nope, the policies are going to be their own thing.
Okay.
Is there any further discussion? Yes. Also, the technology committee, I did speak to Mr. Anderson, and Eric has stepped forward and is going to take a position on that committee. He expressed some interest, and some other board members approached me as well, and he's willing to take that on. So I will, with the permission of Debbie and Kathy, make a motion to amend the technology committee to include Eric Anderson.
Okay.
Is there any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carries. Number 9, policies. Resolve that the superintendent of schools recommends to the Board of Education to approve the following policies.
I'll make a motion to move the list.
Motion to move the list.
Even though one's just a first reading, the others are rescinded.
Okay. Motion to move the list by Eric. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Pauline. Is there any discussion?
Yeah. Could you explain to me?
The question, I believe, is going to be in regards to policy 4741, academic ranking and recognition. One of those is a graduation requirement of, there's a graduation requirement of 22 units, and we are recommending the removal of, it is, I believe, called personal computer, and I forget the full title of it. There was a half credit requirement that's being removed, and instead we're removing that and increasing the electives from 3 units to 3.5.
We're not technically, sorry to interrupt. Are you finished?
That's my understanding, right? That's what our policy is stating.
We're not removing that from the policy. When we searched through the policies and we did an exhaustive search, it's to the best of the board clerk's understanding, our policy manual's understanding, it's not in current policy. But you're right, it was originally typed into this policy. It's been it's come back and forth a few times, and there was discussion about the credits and electives and how kids could fit all this into their schedule, and that's why it's not removed from our offerings. It was just removed as a, it's not removed, it just wasn't added, I guess, as a requirement. I'll defer to Principal Collazo, who's worked extensively on this process.
I think she could probably do a much better job explaining it.
Okay, go ahead.
Since it's her, it was her who brought it forth to us, so.
So after extensive research with Mr. Mannix and Mrs. Menard, we found out that personal computer applications is not a local requirement in our board. So we had it originally listed there with that understanding when we were writing the ranking. When writing the ranking academic policy that we were working on all year long. We put it on there with the perception, belief, that it was something that was required, but it's not, according to the research that we've done. So what we've done is we've just allocated that elective to the electives. So we're still providing all the local requirements that we need to provide, that we, as a board, as a district, have said, this is what we have to provide our students, which is 3 credits more than the state requires. Mm-hmm. So we're still doing that. We're just not putting it, we're not listing it as a, this has to be this elective. We're just putting it at, it's an elective that is going to be given. We are not publicizing that our students are not taking or can take. We're giving PCA. We're giving personal computer applications to our students. But as you know, with all the rigorous stuff that's going on, the schedule of a student can get full quite quickly, which is why we've moved it into the elective.
So it's not something we're rescinding? Is this what you're saying? Is that what I'm getting at?
It's current. We've been, both of us, completed an exhaustive search of policy, and it's currently not in policy. We also reviewed board minutes, and in the board minutes, there was back, I think it was in 08, but we can pull the minutes. There was a time when the board rescinded the requirement. I think previously there was a requirement for word processing and a parenting class, and the board rescinded that for whatever reasons, I don't know. I didn't look at this, any discussion, but that was the closest thing we could find to something associated with PCA.
So is this more accurate to say that we never had a policy, but that it was maybe a general guideline, is that we almost required all kids to take PCA. It was almost while not an official policy by the board, it was just past practice that most kids were taking this, and it was almost expected that you would take something like this.
I think the counseling office thought it was, and I think you were saying that you thought it was.
Yes, I was under the impression it was until we did extensive research for this policy.
Yeah, I thought it was as well. And we're still offering it. It's a fine offering.
We're not taking anything away from the students.
Taking anything away. This is a very important course. I find it to be vital for any student that walks in. And Mr. LaPierre knows how much I appreciate him and look up to him as one of our teachers. But this is truly, when it comes to credit and providing credit to our students, it is an elective. So we're just putting it in the appropriate place. So when it comes to scheduling students to what they need, mm-hmm. In order to graduate on time, we don't have to worry about a course that possibly did not fit into that schedule because it's an elective.
Ed's got a question.
Ed?
All right, so just to be clear then, what mechanism ensures that our students come out of the institution with the knowledge base and the computer skills that they're going to need to go into the workforce?
Well, I personally believe that our students are coming in with those skills anyway. Our students are immensely skilled in technology because of society itself. But all these skills that they're building with Microsoft Office are also built in content areas.
Okay, so that was what I was going to get at, because my kids are already fully digital, right?
Right.
But
content
me
areas.
As an employer, I want kids to come in with Excel and Word.
Yep.
You know, just
content areas pull that in anyway. Our PCOM credit courses pull that in. CB Tech pulls that in for those kids that go there. They are finding these skills. They are immersed within our
content.
That's
for a specific core. What about what ensures that the whole population is exposed to it?
Our students that don't need it wouldn't have to take it, but our students that need it would take it. I guess that's the best I can say when it comes to, can I say that full population is going to get PCA? Probably not, because they don't get it right now.
I would add that if you're asking how can we make sure that our kids have some kind of technological advancement, if that's your question, I'm going to say that number one, we're doing a pretty strong job right now with PCA and a bunch of other courses. But number two, the technology committee is going to look at how are we going to leverage, you know, how are we going to leverage the dollars that are going to probably come through the Cuomo initiative, and how are we going to leverage technology for all students across all classes, not one class, across all classes, so that, you know, we become that 21st century learning environment.
I believe Board Member Buckley had a question.
This is like a really harsh question, but I really would like to know the answer. In the past, we had removed a mandate from UMass, and the result of that was, you know, we're going to make it flexible. But what ended up happening, it was a gateway to eliminating the program.
Okay.
So that's a fear for me. Here we are announcing that we are wireless,
right,
and then we're taking away a foundation course for some students that didn't necessarily have the opportunity at home to experience computers. A lot have, but there are some.
So I want to say we're not taking something away,
right, so
because there was nothing ever mandated. But I do want to say that I wouldn't take this course away just to take it away. And you have more authority than I do. I'm keeping me here, and you can pretty much know I put this building first. And I wouldn't take something away from the students of Beekman Town.
So what is the big picture? What is the ultimate goal of changing the mandate?
Correct
me if I'm wrong. I think that
what
we're doing here is reclassifying it from saying it's a requirement for graduation to putting it on the menu as an elective, right?
Right, but it's not a requirement, according
no,
to
that's right, yeah.
And it was a guideline. So what I'm doing is making sure that it's an elective and ensuring that students are taking it when they need it.
If it was never a requirement, a perceived requirement, but never a requirement, that means it was an elective.
Right.
So if we put it in now as an elective, it becomes an elective. But we kept it where it was. We didn't add it to policy because it wasn't in policy. That's why we searched. We wanted to make sure that was in policy, stayed in policy, and what wasn't in policy, stayed out of policy. So we're not taking something away. We're keeping something exactly where it was. Did other people perceive it to be something more than it was? Yes. Is it maybe because they value the course? Sure, there will be a lot of kids cycling through that course. A lot of kids cycle through a lot of classes this great teacher provides for us, a lot of kids. That's probably never going to change. I hope it never changes. We don't anticipate a change. We actually anticipate more kids going through that as we not offer PCOM for a cohort, but for actually middle school through high school. So we're going to be far more advanced, I think, starting next year and then in years to come. But just to clarify, this wasn't elective and it's staying elective.
And that's why it was brought up in the conversation for policy, because we don't want to put it somewhere now where it's going to be reclassified.
because I really feel it has value and impact. And even from, I mean, with my own experience, my daughter was computer literate, but she gained so much in the course. And so I have to admit, I'm a little fearful of the change.
I can tell you that as long as I'm building under fear here, that course will always be valued.
Is there any additional discussion? Anybody else? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carries. Consent agenda financial. Resolved that the superintendent of schools recommends to the Board of Education that the following resolutions on this consent agenda: transfers, extracurricular reports, UPK grant acceptance, and tax warrant be and are hereby approved.
Motion.
Motion by Board Member King. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Seconded by Board Member Anderson. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor?
That's a roll call.
Oh, roll. Is it?
Financial, yeah, that's yes. My advance. I can skip ahead.
Yeah. Financial, it's roll call vote.
Eric Anderson?
Yes.
Andrew Brockway?
Yes.
Kathy Buckley?
Yes.
Joseph Coakley? Michael Hagedorn?
Yes.
Leonard King?
Yes.
Ed Marin?
Yes.
Mary Passano?
Yes.
Pauline Stone?
Yes.
Okay, additional items to discuss. Mr. Smith was in high demand this year. We had a tough time pinning him down, so we took his earliest availability and we set the board retreat for October 6th at 5:15. He did a great job last year and we wanted to make sure that we got him again this year, but weren't so far out that we were in the middle of the school year. So please make sure that you're available on the 6th at 5:15.
Can I make a comment on that?
Mr. Anderson?
I think we may want to consider that before even, or kind of once we know who's going to, you know, whoever decides to run next year for board, that maybe we try and set up the date in May or April and say, you know what, let's check everybody's schedule, including whoever the candidates are running, and say, let's get this, so that if people are planning vacations and they have to have a 4 months notice or anything like that, maybe we've set our date that, you know, and whether it's even becomes a routine date, just similar to our meetings every second Tuesday, maybe it becomes every third Tuesday of August is when we have our, you know, so that we do something so that we can try and get these, you know, because we, you know, one of the important things with this retreat is setting board and district goals and superintendent goals and all that sort of things. And, you know, the longer we wait to do that, the harder it is for them to have the time to, you know, for us to have the time to implement it. So it just seems that maybe we could try and schedule that super early as best as possible, even if it's just picking out 3 or 4 dates or something like that. Mm-hmm. So then people, you know, we're starting to think about it, something along those lines. So.
Anybody else? All right, we set aside another 10 minutes for public comment.
Oh, wait a minute. I got an additional.
Mr. King?
Yeah, I'd like to talk about this veterans alternative tax exemption.
Can you use a mic? Oh.
Yes, I'd like to talk about the veterans alternative tax exemption before we, what are we going to do with it, I guess, is we've got a lot of information on it, and I just think we need to bring it out to the public.
Does anyone have any commentary that they want to, I mean, it's a big discussion. We've been provided with some materials from the superintendent, and obviously there's other information out there as well. We had it brought to our attention last year and we didn't take action on it. With that in mind, I guess that we'll just take commentary from board members, and if they have anything to add at this time, please raise your hand or Superintendent Manning. Mr. Anderson?
I know we have till March to make this decision, but I also think it's you know, it's going to take time to make this decision because I believe we're required to have a hearing, if I'm not mistaken. So it seemed to me the first, maybe one of the, do we want to have more some discussion as a board and then a hearing, or do we want to just start off with a public hearing, let people start to talk about it, and then we as a board can start to have a discussion? But I think the sooner we start, the better. this, you know, the type of issue. It could be a pretty simple one. It could be, you know, one where, depending on what the feedback from the community is and what the general feeling of the board is, this could go very quickly, or it could be one that, you know, could take a while. So I think the sooner we can start, the better. You know, maybe we plan on September. I don't know if we want to try and have a hearing, or if we want to just, you know, set aside some definite time for the board members to discuss, but something along those lines.
Can we try to get some sort of a survey so that some of the results can be presented at a hearing to discuss?
If the board wants to have a survey, then we should go through that exercise. I mean, I think Ed's posing that question to the Board of Education.
Mm-hmm. Is there any interest in having a survey?
I would definitely like to hear the people of our district and what they've got to say.
Mm-hmm. I feel the same way.
Because I have heard from a couple of different veterans. And actually, the ones I've heard from said, I don't want to put my burden on somebody else. They said, I'll pay my taxes and I'm not going to. So that's why I'm saying I think we need to hear from the overall group, because I haven't heard from the other ones there. I'm sure there's a lot of them out there that would like this exemption. So if we hear from our public, and then we'll have more of an accurate reading on that.
I agree.
Ms. Pasno?
We didn't act on this earlier this year, as you remember, because I think we really didn't have the right information to be able to make a decision and to be able to ascertain what the impact is for the district. And we're starting to get some of that information. I have no opposition to having this hearing or hearing what people have to say, but ultimately it comes down to what the back total picture. My experience, Leonard, has been similar to yours. The veterans I've heard from, which have only been few, so far the ones I've heard from are not in favor. So there hasn't been a big outcry for this. There may be at some point this year. I think people, if they feel something specific about this issue, certainly need to have the opportunity to make their voices heard.
Mm-hmm. Anybody else?
I like the idea of the survey. I think that's an excellent idea to get. I mean, we've done some in the past. I think this is one that would be very good to get some response to see where the community in general stands. We'll get a much larger, you know, we've had fairly good response rates, which is, you know, really nice, because it won't be just one particular group, whether that's veterans or not veterans. You'll have the whole, I think you'll have a whole gambit of people that will have a chance to respond. So I think a survey would be excellent.
Yeah, and I just like to say I'm really proud of the way that the board handled the retiree health discussion. I'd like to handle this in a similar way, making it open and transparent to the public, making sure all the information we have is shared, and having a dialogue with the public before we make any concrete decision. Is there any further discussion? With that said, we have set aside another public comment period for 10 minutes. If anyone's interested, please come forward. Seeing none, the board has also put on the agenda another executive session period. So with that in mind, I don't believe that we're planning on taking any action after that. So what we'll do when we come out is just make a motion to adjourn, so we don't have any public business on the agenda after that. So with that said, is there a motion to go into executive session?
No. We need a member pro tem.
Yes.
And I'm going to make a motion that it be, what? Who do you think? Andy?
It's up to you guys.
Public comment, though.
I did.
I want to make a motion to appoint Andy as the clerk pro tem.
Is a motion by Eric or Mr. Anderson to appoint me as clerk pro tem? I'll accept that. Is there any opposition? Okay. With that said, is there a motion to go into executive session?
I'll second it.
Leonard. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye. Motion to go in executive session.
Motion to go in executive session by Board Member King, seconded by Board Member Pastenaw.
And that is to discuss the employment history of a particular individual person. And pending litigation?
Correct.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? All right. Thank you guys for coming tonight.
We'll meet in executive session in 5 minutes.